Now, besides the obvious teaching here in 1 Corinthians 12 about the various parts and functions of the body there, did you ever stop to ask yourself where Paul got all this information? I mean, who taught Paul about the 9 different gifts of the Spirit? Who told Paul there were diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, that there were differences of administrations, but the same Lord, there were diversities of operations? You know, he certainly didn't get all that information from studying the scrolls of the Old Testament. And he certainly didn't get it from studying the New Testament, because the New Testament wasn't even written. Where'd he get the information? Well, he got it by revelation. He got it directly by the Spirit. Okay. God spoke to the saints of the early church in different ways. There's no doubt he spoke to them through the Scripture, through the Old Testament, if they had it. Okay. But he also spoke to them directly. And nothing has changed. He still speaks to us directly. The fact that we have a New Testament changes nothing. God hasn't stopped talking to his people directly now that we have a complete Bible. That's what the fundamentalists teach. They say that since the canon of Scripture has been completed, God no longer speaks to his children directly. Now, he only speaks to them through the Bible. According to them, we can only hear God through the Bible, and we can only know God through the Bible. And I'll tell you very frankly, my friends, anyone who accepts that lie will never attain the fullness of Christ, I assure you. Because your relationship has to go much deeper than knowing God through the Bible and hearing God's voice through the Bible. Now, most people never stop to think about the fact that, you know, the vast majority of Christians in the early church did not have a Bible to guide them, especially if you're a Gentile congregation. You know, and there's a few passages in the New Testament that speak about, you know, people reading the Scriptures, and they take those Scriptures and they assume our situation onto that passage. Like, you know, they all had Bibles, or they all had New Testaments, or they all had even the Old Testament. You know, they didn't. First of all, the only Scriptures they could have possibly had back then was the scrolls of the Old Covenant. And they were all located in the local synagogue, you see, because you just couldn't walk into a bookstore and purchase a copy of the Old Covenant, all right? The Old Covenant was broken down into 35 or 40 scrolls, and they belonged to the Jews. If you wanted to read the Old Covenant, you had to go to the Jews to get it. You had to go to the synagogue to read it, all right? I mean, I'm sure there may have been a few scattered copies of parts of a scroll here or there that somebody copied and you know, took out. But by and large, you know, they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have an Old Testament half the time. And we, the reference for Timothy about reading the Scriptures, says, you know, Timothy, you've read the Scriptures and, your whole life. That's because Timothy was half Jewish. He had access to the synagogue. Probably went to the synagogue. There's one about the Bereans. It says the Bereans were more noble because they compared the Scriptures to what Paul said. And well, they didn't. The Bereans were, if they were Gentiles, they didn't have the Old Testament. They didn't have it. So they must have got copies of certain portions that Paul was referring to support his message when he was there. That's generally they could compare the Scriptures to where what Paul was saying, unless they went to the synagogue, you know, and got permission to read the scrolls. Okay, by and large, the people of the old Paul's day didn't have a Bible. They didn't even have the Old Testament, especially their Gentiles. And what that means is, when the gifts of the Spirit began manifesting, or some, you know, spiritual experience started coming forth in a congregation, there's nothing to judge those things by, except the inner witness. You know, the leaders of the elders and the leaders of the early church, they had to be in a hearing relationship with the Lord, because they would have to judge all these new manifestations and all these new spiritual experiences that were coming forth in the congregations. You know, they had to know how to follow that inner witness, because that's the only measuring stick they had. You know, they couldn't pop open the New Testament to see if some person who's prophesying was, you know, prophesying right. If all these new experiences had to be verified by the Bible, none of them would have been verified. They'd all been rejected because they couldn't have been verified. There wasn't a New Testament to verify them with. And the Old Testament, you couldn't verify them in the Old Testament because the New Testament sent manifestations, all right? So the Old Testament was no good to verify these things. And there was no New Testament to compare it with. The only tool they had was the inner witness, was a witness of the Spirit. Let me give you an example of this. In 1 Corinthians 14:29, Paul tells the people to test the prophecies that are coming forth in their fellowships. He says, let the prophets speak 2 or 3 and let the others judge. Now notice what he doesn't say. He didn't say, You let the prophet speak and let the others wait 6 months to see if the prophecy turns out to be accurate. He didn't say, no, let the prophet speak and then everybody get your scrolls out to see if what was just said lines up with what's been written. He said, let the others judge right then, right there, during the meeting. Well, how are they supposed to judge those prophecies, you know, if they didn't have a Bible to use to verify or reject them? The only thing they could do was judge it by the Spirit. The only tool they had was the inner witness. You see, those people knew Jesus Christ. They didn't know him through the Bible. They knew him firsthand through the Spirit. They knew him firsthand by experience. You know, and as a matter of fact, it was their spiritual experiences that gave us half the New Testament. Half the New Testament deals with the spiritual experiences of the early Christians. You realize that, all right? It wasn't just a doctrine the apostles were going around laying down. The New Testament deals with the spiritual experiences, okay? We got the New Testament because of their spiritual experiences. Now, like I said, today we have the New Testament. So we should also use the New Testament. That's a tool to test prophecy. But not to the exclusion of the inner witness, you see? And that's the problem I have. The Bible is being used to the exclusion of the inner witness. The Bible is being used to the exclusion of being led by the Spirit directly. Not only the fundamentalists acting like fundamentalists, the Pentecostals are acting like fundamentalists too. You know, I can have a certain amount of respect for the person who's a genuine fundamentalist because they feel they're being true to what they think the Scripture teaches. They're wrong, they're blind, but they're standing on what they believe is the truth. They're being honest. But I find it hard to have any respect for preachers or Bible teachers who claim to be Pentecostal, but then turn around and preach a fundamentalist message or a fundamentalist mindset out of fear because of all the false stuff that's being flooded to churches. You know, when we stand before God, it's going to be the Pentecostals who will be in far more trouble with God because while many of them say they accept the truth of spiritual experiences with their mouth, in real life, they're denying them out of fear. Out of fear. And I promise you, God's going to look very much more harshly on that kind of thing than the blind fundamentalist who thinks he's obeying the Scripture. We are to be led by the Spirit. We are to know God through the Spirit. Now, many times, he will speak to us through the Bible. There's no problem with that. But other times, he desires to speak to us in other ways. And if your position is he only speaks to you through the Bible, you just shut off all the other avenues that God would like to speak to you through. So my thing is, don't put the Bible in the place of God. The Bible has its proper place, and it can be exalted above its proper place, believe it or not. He gave us that word so we would learn about him, so we would learn about his ways, so we would come to understand what kind of God it is we're serving. And he gave us that book so that we can make sure that we're being led by the right Spirit and that we're having union with the right Spirit, okay? Because the right Spirit's not going to contradict that book. But I'm going to tell you something. Having union with your Bible won't bring you into the fullness of Christ. Only having union with the person of Jesus, firsthand, directly, will do that. So be wary of the people who say they're Pentecostals, of the people who say they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but who walk in a fundamentalist walk, and who are saying you can only know Jesus through the Bible, you can only hear Jesus' voice through the Bible. That's fundamentalism. And anybody walks that kind of walk ain't going into the fullness, I guarantee you. Now, does everybody understand? I'm not saying we should forget about the Scripture. Yeah, everybody understand what I'm saying there? What I'm talking about is a overemphasis, a wrong angle, a wrong focus that's denying people the full orbed experience of their walk and life with God. And they're using the Bible to do it. They're using the concept of only knowing God, only hearing God through the Bible as a concept to rob people of the full orbed experience you can have with Jesus Christ your Savior. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, good. I read the Bible all the time. I study the Bible. God speaks to me through the Bible, okay? But that's not the only way he speaks to me. And that's, I don't know through the Bible. I know through my personal experience. I know I got a track record with the Lord. He's been my deliverer. He's been saved my life. All these things, I have a track record with him, of him being my Savior, my provider. I know him because of what he's done for me. I know him because of the relationship we've developed together. I don't know him because I read the Bible and know all about him. I know him because we have a union. We're walking in union with each other. We have a relationship with each other. And the Bible is very important because you got to make sure that your relationship is with the right Spirit and that you're being led by the right Spirit and hearing the voice of the right Spirit. So you can't let off the Bible at all. Oh, Sonny said, I heard an interview of an evangelistic person who all sounded great, had a street ministry to prostitutes and homeless, but something didn't seem right. As I listened, they didn't say anything that threw a red flag. It was weird why I felt this, had this feeling. I thought, Lord, what is it? What's wrong? Later, I found out this person had ties to Patricia King, and that explained everything. Amen. There you go, Sonny. That's the same exact thing that guy was talking about when he gave his testimony about Chip Brogdon. Everything sounded right, sounds good, looks good, but the spirit man inside knows the truth. You know, if you can just learn how to recognize that spirit man, you never fail. Because it never fails, and the Spirit of God knows the truth. It just knows the truth every situation. Okay. C.T.R. says, I think you're teaching something that's correct, but that we are taught not to acknowledge or think out properly. Okay. Irma says, that is, let me know when he says, yeah, that's right. Okay, good. See, you all got it. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. Hugh says, my sheep hear my voice. Amen, brother. Amen. My sheep hear my voice. Well, that's all I had today. It was pretty short because I didn't have a long time to work on it. I was working on something else for next week, but I'll do that next week. Anybody have anything you'd like to share about anything? Anything on your mind at all? Anything you want to share about this week? Oh, no problem. No problem, Hugh. God bless you. Go ahead, Helen. You got the mic.
Oh, dear. Yes, I was in a bit of a dither over all this David Wilkerson stuff. Because I've followed David Wilkerson since the year after I was saved, since like at least 1981, and I've always found him to be a man of God, and I was kind of disturbed when I saw all the people jumping out to speak against his prophecy. And so I sort of did a blog. You could call me a bit of a stirrer, I guess. I don't know. That's kind of just how the Lord has used me over the years. And I got some reactions, but I wanted some reactions because I wanted somebody to stand up and say something in his defense. And I wanted to see if anybody would. And I thank God that they did. But I wanted to share this one testimony that I received actually as a comment to one of the blogs I did. It's from a friend of mine by the name of Amy, and I thought it was very good and worth sharing. And she said, I heard Brother Dave's prophecy in 1992 in person, and I, as well as several other friends, had already had similar visions of the fires he spoke about and the rioting. The Holy Spirit in us witnessed to it and had already shown us the same thing. Many people in the New York City area have been given these warnings over the years. Some I know had them even before they were saved and thought it was going to happen soon. In 1991, I saw Ground Zero, the hole and pile of rubble where the twin towers were, and I carried that burden for 10 years, fully persuaded it would happen any day, even checking the skyline behind me every day. When I watched those planes slamming into the towers live on TV, I knew in my spirit that that was it, that in 1 hour they were coming down. I was so grateful I got to see it and know I wasn't crazy, because many prophets, not that I am one, she says, never got to see the fulfillment like that. I had wondered after a while if it would ever happen in my lifetime. I kept thinking God was being merciful and long-suffering, giving people more time to repent, and I felt my job was to pray for mercy, which I definitely saw in the whole disaster. It could have been so much worse. God is so merciful and saved many, many people, even many who died. The best friend of my husband's worked at Cantor Fitzgerald, a bond trading company on the top floors above the fire that lost about 800 employees. He was persecuted on the job and ridiculed and mocked for being a preacher. But when everyone realized they were trapped and going to die, they begged him to tell them how to get right with God. He had called his wife to tell her He was exactly where God wanted him and asked her to pray because hundreds of co-workers were standing in front of him saying, "Preacher, what do we do? How can we be saved?" And some were already on their faces crying out to God in repentance. David Wilkerson has insisted many times that he is not a prophet and has pointed out instances when he has been wrong or has mistakenly added his own interpretation to something God did say. He always directs people to the scriptures and to their own prayer closet concerning what he says. He has walked a very hard walk. God has humbled him and broken him and given him a heart of mercy and compassion through letting him make mistakes and experience some of the very errors he railed against in others. He has stumbled on occasion like all men of God, but has stood firm over the long run and has not wavered in his convictions or preaching, only softened in his heart and attitude towards others. This is a true man of God who has paid the price for his anointing, and we do not have the right to judge him by outward appearances, which is what these people are doing. She's referring to the links I put on the blog. Even though they claim they are judging by the Spirit in the Scriptures. And she says, while I'm at it on a roll here, I'm going to say just one more thing. It's not a bad idea to have extra staples and food set aside, not out of fear, but common sense. Because in cities like New York, the supermarkets are cleaned out that quickly, even just before snowstorms or hurricanes. Where I live, it is not unusual to be snowed in and without power, and our supermarkets say they have only 3 days' worth of food if everyone came in at the same time. The trucks come something like twice a week from Denver, which is a 7-hour drive, and often the interstate is closed during storms. So most people I know do not keep some extra food and water just for that reason. If there's a calamity on the scale that Brother Dave has seen, 30 days worth of supplies is not going to be enough anyway. We are still going to need to depend on God. I just thought that was so good. And Amy was a part of David Wilkerson's congregation in New York City, so she knows him and she knows how he is. And you know, I just really appreciate this teaching. I'm going to be quiet in just a minute. I'm sorry. I'm not meant to be a mic hog. I've just been struggling with a lot of things lately, and I guess I've been listening to some things I shouldn't listen to. But it's very hard. I appreciate the teaching. It's very, very needed. Because like I say, we are... Well, like, you know, I'm sorry, people. I only speak for myself. I am a dumb old sheep, okay? So I know the importance of being led by the Spirit. And I have been led by the Spirit of God. And the Lord always opens my eyes. Sometimes it takes me a little bit. Sometimes it doesn't take so long. But he does open our eyes when, you know, when we belong to him. He's put our spirit in us. We know that we are the children of God because his spirit bears witness in us. But it's hard sometimes when you sit perhaps sometimes under some teaching that, and you know, perhaps you, I don't read books except the Word of God, but when you sit under things that make you, you know, start questioning yourself and you're not hearing what you need to hear. I needed to hear this teaching, Brother Dan, and I needed to hear what you've shared with me this week, and I really appreciate it, because this is what we're supposed to be doing, is encouraging one another in the Word, and it's true, there are so many people, even within the so-called Pentecostal realm, that are really knocking being led of the Spirit, and you know, when we look at prophets like Bentley and Joyner and all the rest of the people, we know we shouldn't listen to them. I mean, the Spirit of God ought to bear witness in everybody pretty much instantaneously once you hear these people start talking and observing them. But then to discount, you know, words and prophecies that the Lord truly gives to people, we shouldn't do that. Yes, we should judge everything, but we just shouldn't throw out these things that the Lord gives, you know, time-tested, integrity-filled men of God. So I'll be quiet now. Thank you for bearing with me. God bless you all.
Amen. That was a good share, Helen. Thanks for sharing that. That was a nice letter. You didn't hog the mic. No problem. You can talk anytime you need to. Amen. Yeah, I get disturbed too when I see that kind of stuff. I personally, look, I'll give you my view. I'm going to state it publicly, so if I'm wrong, I'll have to renounce it publicly, okay? When I read that thing, actually, Helen's the one that sent me that Dave Wilkerson thing. That's the one I got it from first, the first time I saw it. When I read that, I believe I bore witness in my spirit that what he's saying is true. And because I believe I bore witness to it, I'm going to stand on my witness against everybody on this planet until he's proven wrong. And if he's proven wrong, if it turns out that he was not, listening to the spirit, it was just his own heart or whatever, then I'll admit publicly that I was wrong. I'll confess to God that my witness was wrong. I'll ask the Lord to forgive me and to give me more discernment so the next time my witness is right. Okay? That's better than sitting on the fence and not being able to make a decision, trying to cover your rear end and, trying to play both edges of the fence, or, ignoring the thing. Take a stand. Make a decision. And if it's wrong, then ask God to forgive you. But anyway, I feel it's true what he said. So we'll see. Time will tell. But the people that just discount it are, they're irritating. I just feel a bad spirit in them. And anybody that can't tell the difference between David Wilkerson and somebody like Todd Bentley, they're a total waste. I don't even want to talk to them. They have zero discernment. I don't agree with everything Dave Wilkerson's done or said. One of the things I disagree with him is he still believes in the end time great revival is coming. And I believe that until he gets rid of that doctrine, he's still going to be a mixture. He's still going to be making mistakes. He's still going to be preaching things that ain't quite right. He's still going to be flip-flopping back and forth between truth and something that's not true. But that doesn't mean he's a false prophet. It doesn't mean can't receive the truth from him or anything like that. So I don't agree with everything he says. I believe he has a little bit of error there. But the attitude that's displayed towards him by so many people is just plain old arrogance, pride and arrogance. They won't say, "I respect David, but I disagree with him." It's, "He's wrong. He don't have this. He did this wrong. He did that wrong. And this didn't happen when he said blah, 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 blah." That kind of stuff is going there like a fire. I can tell you that. That's Pharisees talk, man. God ain't going to put up with that kind of stuff. So I'm going on record saying I believe it. I can witness to it. So if it's not true, I'll have to get on here and apologize and confess to everybody that it's not true, okay? All right. Let's see. Anybody else? Yes, I did, Mondo, I did see that one. As a matter of fact, Mom came down and saw it with me. She sat here in front of the computer and watched it. That was on YouTube. That was a good one, most of it. At the end, he started saying a couple of things that I don't agree with, again. But, see, David Wilkerson has a few views that I don't believe are true. It sort of comes out when he talks to, a false teacher or anything like that. It's just, we're all going to be different. We all differ in our views in some areas, okay? And that's the way it goes. So I can say I differ with him. I can say I don't agree with him. I can say I believe he's wrong in a few areas. But I can also say the guy's a man of God. He's a servant of God. And anybody compares him to Todd Bentley is nuts. All righty. Anybody else have anything? Kind of short tonight. Anybody else have anything you'd like to talk about? Somebody referred to his warning as Chicken Little, which is inappropriate. Yeah. I saw one guy that talked about it. He was not real smart and nasty. It was just a short blog. But his whole thing was, "I hope it's not true. I hope it's not true." Well, that's where your heart is. Your heart is in America and the American way of life and American people. You don't care what God wants. What if it's God's will? What David said is coming to pass. What if it's God's judgment? Who do you love more, God or your own people? God or this economy? God or this way of life? Choose what side you're going to be on, brother. There's going to be many Christians on the side of the wicked when God starts doing these things, I guarantee you. Many Christians on the side of the wicked. You're going to be blaspheming God right on all the wicked when he starts it. Now, I ain't going to be one of them. This country deserves whatever's coming on it. Believe me. Mullen says, "I love that." He says, "The seeker-sensitive movement came right out of the pit of hell." That's good. No ambiguity there, is there? I hate people that are ambiguous, that try to cover their bases, and you can't pin them down on what they really believe. I can't stand that. That's Satan. That's a deceiver. Stand up and say what you believe. If you're wrong, confess it. If you're right, say, "I told you so," like Paul. I'm only kidding. Remember when Paul was on the ship? He's on a shipwreck, and he says, "Brethren, I told you it's going to be damage. You should listen to me." Okay. Let's see. Anybody else have anything? Like a slithering snake. Amen, Hugh. Yeah. Seed sower, Helen, Sister Helen, tricked me this week because when I saw her things on David Wilkerson stuff up there, she put links up there, and she said, "You have to decide whether it's true or not because there's some people question it." I wrote her. I get on my high horse and wrote her and say, "Hey, man, what's wrong with you? You're wavering here. What are you? Get on the right side or on the wrong side. What are you doing here?" And hey, it was a trick. She was just trying to get a reaction from people. So I had to humble myself and apologize for jumping the gun, you know. Okay, go ahead, you. You got the mic, brother.
I was saying that, Dan, I appreciate the CDs that you gave me over the past few months. I was listening to one of the CDs last week when I was driving down to San Diego at going to a conference, so that's why I didn't attend the fellowship last Sunday. But anyway, I've been reading Revelation over the past week, and I've been looking at some of the things that you had been teaching. And this morning, actually, I read about 11 chapters. It was so interesting how you brought shed some light on Revelation, in the sense that it's the general concepts in the first, 11 chapters, 12 chapters, then the detail, and then the next 8 or so chapters toward the end. And it really was a blessing. One thing that was repeated several times, it said in there, because our prayer in our fellowship group that we meet on Monday night is that we will endure to the end. And one of the things that Jesus said is he was saying that the faithful will persevere till the end. And also that at the end, at the judgment, Jesus Christ will actually judge our deeds. And you know my background, that Calvinistic background, and that is the total 180-degree difference from what they teach. They teach that God will preserve you, because when you use the term persevere, we don't like that, because that means that God is no longer acting monergistically, but we're working with God. So they don't like that term. And the other thing that stood out is that why is God going to judge our deeds? Because we all, like what Dan has been teaching, especially on last Sunday, that we're all going to make it in anyway, because our names are written in the book of life on the foundation of the world. And so and in the past, that same pastor said that he doesn't know if he ever would get the revelations, you know, maybe in the next 10 or 15 years. So I was sharing with my wife this morning in Bible study, where we were going over Revelation, some things in Revelation. I said, see, this is the very thing. If you don't look at Revelation, how can you begin to judge what people are teaching? That's where that false teaching of covenantalism and dispensationalism that the reformers teach, because both of them, either dispensationalists totally ignore Revelation altogether, because we're going to be out of here anyway, we're going to get raptured. Okay, a lot of them believe. And the covenantalists believe that, well, we're already in the millennial reign now, and it's only going to get better leading up to Christ's return. So, you know, like what Dan said before, that if what Satan, one of his tools is to get us to not fight. And so he has all kind of different ways to get you to be totally pacified and not entering the battle. So anyway, I just wanted to share these things, and I want to say thank you to everybody. And I'm in California, so a lot of time a little late to the fellowship because the weather out here, I hate to say this, is real nice today, okay? And so I'm running in from a day of 70-degree weather. And so anyway, I'm a little late. But anyway, God bless everybody. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, you. Thanks for sharing, bro. But you're going to lose one of your gold stars if you don't get in here on time. I have no excuse to be at the beach when it's time to be at the chat room. I can't. I'm not going to get your gold star for the Sunday school class, all right? All right. Thanks for sharing. Don't worry about you. I was only kidding. I don't check people up here. When you come and you leave, who cares? Don't matter. I'm not worried about that. Hermes says a song. Okay, hang on. All right. Let's see. That's right. I started to sing one last week and I got cut off. I remember. All right, let's do that one then. We'll do that one. Unbelievable Love, I was starting to sing. Okay. Sometimes I wake up after midnight, worrying about the coming day. Then Jesus puts his arms around me, and he wipes my tears all away. Unbelievable love, unbelievable love, hold my hand. Jesus gives to me unbelievable love. Sometimes I wake up after midnight, worrying about the coming day. Then Jesus puts his arms around me,
and he wipes my tears all away. Unbelievable love. Unbelievable love. Hold my hand, sweet Jesus, give to me. Unbelievable love. Sometimes I wake up after midnight, worrying about the coming day. Then Jesus puts his arms around me, and he wipes my tears all away. Unbelievable love, unbelievable love. Hold my hand, sweet Jesus, give to me. Unbelievable love, unbelievable love. Unbelievable love. Hold my hand, sweet Jesus, give to me. Unbelievable love.
Okay, go over. Looks like Mama wants to say something. There you go.
I want to say something about this David Wilkerson prophecy. You know, I find it very easy to believe what he's saying because of what's happening in the natural. I've been listening to some radio programs by conservative and patriotic people, and they have speakers on that really are in the know of what's going on in the government. And I want to tell you, there are some people, it's moving slowly, but believe me, there are some people who are catching on to what Obama's doing. They're realizing that he's selling this country down the drain, and they're catching on. Even states, there's about 21 states that are going to try and break away from the union, or talking about breaking away from the union because they don't want to have this federal government take over. Anyway, things are moving, and very slowly, and maybe even very few. But believe me, there are people who are seeing what's going on. And these men are predicting that within the 6 months or a year that there will be an upheaval in this country, that people are going to stand up and start fighting for their rights. And that's why I can believe what's happening in the natural, that what David Wilkerson prophesied, that's why I can believe in that, because I can hear from other people that are in the know what is really going on in the hearts of some of the people in this country. Thank you.
All righty. Well, if nobody has anything else, I guess we'll shut her down there. All righty. Thanks for coming, everybody. Thanks for sharing. And we'll see you next week, God willing, and the river don't rise.